Matthew 11:25-30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for your gracious will, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let me tell you about the circumstances of my preaching or speaking this morning in chapel. Dr. Traup is away on a trip, and he was hoping to be back sometime this morning or last night so that he could share in the preaching of the word. But that didn't happen, and so Andrea came by at the end of last week and asked if I would go ahead and share the word of the Lord to you this morning. So I said, what passage is he going to preach from? And Andrea told me, and so that's the passage with the title that Dr. Traup was going to speak on. Now, the funniest thing about this is if you got the emails yesterday from Cheryl Johnston, who's a very, very good friend of mine, she said in it, she announced first that Dr. Traup was going to speak, and then a moment later, she wrote back and said, there's a change in chapel. Dr. Robert Fraser will preach, period. And then the next sentence was, we look forward to Dr. Traup preaching in the future. So I could only wonder if that meant that for these few moments, you guys are just going to have to endure to the end of the next 20 minutes or so of my sharing with you God's Word. So please keep your Bibles open to the passage that Emily has read for us this morning, because we're going to be looking at, if you have a Bible, I want you to get take out your Bible, because we're going to be going to some other places as well in God's Holy Word. Okay? Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, we do thank you for this time to take a look at your word, to marvel, to wonder, to be changed and transformed, to hear your invitation in this passage to come and to go to you. We pray, oh God, that you would bless us then with the good presence of your Spirit, so that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, fill us with your Spirit, because we recognize that without your Spirit's presence, the preacher cannot preach and the hearers cannot hear. So reveal yourself and all your glory to us this day. For we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it, at this stage of the semester? I know that many of you are thinking about your next class and you're thinking, well, maybe I'll just start my rest period at that point. Or maybe you're thinking about you'll start your rest period right here as Fraser gets up and shares a few thoughts about God's Word. But rest is a keen word. It's an important word to us. We get tired. We get weary in our lives and in our souls. And we long for rest. Built into the creation is a Sabbath day so that we might enjoy this notion of the importance of rest. When it comes to rest, what I want you to think about for just a moment as we work into this particular idea is rest is really a balm, is really an antidote to some kind of condition that we're in, isn't it? We're tired, we're exhausted, we need some balm to come along. Rest is, in fact, that balm that heals us from the conditions that we're in at particular times. Rest is often associated with peace, isn't it? When you think of rest in the scriptures, you think of this word peace. In fact, St. Augustine said, the word that falls most sweet on a person's ear is the word peace, the word shalom. And when we think of rest and when we think of shalom, it's really for the purpose of restoring us, of out of the midst of the quietness, out of the in the midst of the restorative activity that's going on. Out of that, we're replenished so that we can continue to do the work that God called us to do for the advance and for the purpose of his very kingdom. So this passage calls us to rest, much like Jesus says in other passages where, for instance, in the Gospel, according to St. John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Or what Jesus said at the beginning of that passage where he claimed, where he asserted these words that are so familiar to us. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go there to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also." The scripture is filled with this idea of rest from the very beginning to the very end. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, it reminds us that there is a rest for us, an eternal rest that we find because of the redemptive work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus in this passage then says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I don't know anyone in this room who's not had the experience of being heavy laden, of being just consumed with things like anxiety or work. The things that Kristen prayed for just a few minutes ago, we're familiar with that particular experience, and in so many cases it just invades and permeates our lives. Some of you have suffered from things like anxiety or panic attacks. Some of you are just overwhelmed with the work that you have to do in your classes, that you feel as if you are tightly in a knot for the whole course of your life. Well, hear the words of Jesus come to us at this moment, at this time. What we're looking for is a rest that is more than simply a vacation, one that's more than just a chance to get away and to go someplace. We're looking for a rest that is a healing balm to our soul, that changes us, that transforms us, that equips us, that in the midst of the quiet, there is refreshment so that we can continue to go on to do the work that God has called us to do as those who bear his image and in his likeness. Now, in this particular passage, if we're going to understand some of the text itself, we need to put it into context. We need to put this text into context. And the way we'd like to put it in context is to refer to several passages of Scripture in the Old Testament and also in the intertestamental period of time from a book called The Wisdom of Ben Sira. If we're going to understand what the call is, we need to understand the background and the context in which this call is uttered. So we think of Exodus chapter 33. The children of Israel have come out of bondage. They've received the law. They're messing things up. And Moses prays. He intervenes for the children of Israel. And God says in the midst of that passage, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." The call that Jesus is giving us is a call into his presence, a call to know that in him we live and move and have our being. The call that Jesus is giving us reminds us of that wonderful passage at the end of 2 Corinthians where Paul calls us to know that we are living in Christ. That's why we're existing. We're living in Christ. And it's the knowledge of God's presence with us, as Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that stirs our hearts so that we might be comforted by these words and hear them. We also read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, these very interesting words, where Jeremiah says, chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies, and walk in it, and then you'll find rest for your souls." Soren Kierkegaard, in his great work called Practice in Christianity, commented on this particular passage from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And he said about this passage that it's an invitation by God, by Christ, to enter into his presence, to live in the presence of this eternal God. But then the second chapter in this particular work is called The Halt. It's called The Halt. And in this passage, what Kierkegaard says is that we all come to the crossroads in life where in the midst of our turmoil and struggle, in the midst of our fragmentation and fracture, in the midst of the harriedness and busyness that we experience in life, we stand at the crossroads. And as we stand at the crossroads, we must make a choice whether we're going to hear these words from Jesus, whether we're going to respond to these words from Jesus in faith, or whether we're going to ignore them in some kind of way. Geneva community, today we stand at the crossroads. We already know we're tired, don't we? We already know we're weary. We already know we want to get out of here. We already know we don't want to take that next exam. We already feel the pressure of life bearing down on us. We feel the pressure of travel plans and other things, as Beth has said this morning. We sense and we feel these things. We're kind of at a crossroad in life. And the crossroad says to us, which way are you going to go? Which path are you going to take? Which avenue are you going to pursue? And so this morning, Jesus calls us to consider his invitation at the crossroad of life, whether we're really going to choose discipleship, whether we're really going to choose him, whether we're really going to choose God's presence, or whether we'll continue on our own way. This particular passage is a crucial gospel passage. It's a crucial passage that identifies what your need is. It's a crucial passage that calls you to consider the fact that you're standing at a place that needs to hear the glorious message of a living Savior. So the first kind of background contextually in this passage is simply this. Are we at the crossroads going to enter into the rest of the presence of God? Think about that for a moment. We at the crossroads, are we going to enter into the rest of God? A rest that is that completes, a rest that heals, a rest that restores us to be those who, made in his image and likeness, can pursue holiness. That's the first kind of contextual background. You're standing at the crossroads. Are you going to choose the presence of the living Lord? Are you going to acknowledge that he is with us and present at this moment? The second kind of background is found in various places in the Old Testament. And in particular, this background of this text is located in the wisdom literature that some of you have studied with Byron Curtis and Jonathan Watt and others. And so we have to listen to the fact that the call that Jesus gives is a call to wisdom. Now, it's not wisdom in a theoretical sense. It's not theoretical, it's not wisdom in an abstract sense. It's wisdom embodied in the one who is the wisdom word, the one who brought all things into existence. So you're standing at the crossroad, you have to decide whether you're going to choose for God's presence, and then you have to hear what the call is. And the call is to wisdom himself, the one who brought all things into being by the word of his power, the one who sustains us in life. So we turn back to the book of Proverbs, and we find some similarities between the book of Proverbs and this passage that is before us today. Listen to these words. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town. Do you get that image? Who's standing at the crossroad? Wisdom himself, beckoning us to come into the presence of God, beckoning us for a moment to put aside all of those distractions, to put aside homework, to put aside those things that are bearing so hard on us in our experience, to put those things aside because the one who is standing at the crossroads bidding you to come into his presence is the one who is wisdom himself. The call of this passage is a call to wisdom that is located in the person of Jesus Christ, who is wisdom incarnate in the flesh. In a book in the Apocrypha called The Wisdom of Ben Sira, we find similar language to what is being used by Jesus in our passage. In the sixth chapter of Ben Sira, verse 23, the writer says, "Listen, my child, and accept my judgment. Do not reject my counsel. Put your feet into her fetters and your neck into her yoke. Bend your shoulders and carry her. Come to her," that is wisdom, "with all your soul and keep her ways with all your might. Seek out and seek, and she will become known to you. And when you get hold of her, do not let her go, because wisdom is a garland around your neck." And so, contextually, to understand what Jesus is saying, we see it in light of this Old Testament background, standing at the crossroads and making a choice about whether we're going to live in the presence of the living God or whether we're going to ignore the fact that he sustains us and keeps us day after day after day. This call at the crossroads, then, is a call to wisdom. It's not a call simply to take a nap or to be relieved in some kind of way. It's not to go on vacation again, but it's to come to the one who is wisdom so that you can find the actual rest that your soul needs. Not a fabrication, not a pseudo-rest, but the one that actually is the healing balm of your soul. That's what Jesus calls us to in this passage. As we move through the passage, we notice that Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened." Well, what are some of those burdens that we find just in the immediate text that God in wisdom can relieve us from? Well, if we go back just to the last verse, we have these cities like Bethsaida and Chorazin, cities in which in which God manifested himself in all of his glory, that Jesus performed miracles, and yet they couldn't see, they couldn't hear, they didn't want. That was a burden. The viewpoint or the standards of their culture were impeding them from hearing or responding to the wise words of this particular call. In the immediate context, we find that another burden that he's referring to is the burden of being smart, of being wise, of being coy. And Jesus says in that part of the passage, "Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and the discerning. It's not ever that any of your professors can figure out all that there is to what wisdom is. That comes only through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you deeply into a relationship with wisdom himself." As we go through the passage, the next section, the Pharisees say to them, "If you want freedom, if you want rest, what you have to do is you have to carry a very heavy burden, a very heavy load, of fulfilling 613 commandments, of taking the yoke of the Torah on yourself, of ensuring that through your righteousness you might be saved." Jesus says, "No, my yoke is easy and light. My yoke is refreshing and true and good." And so the call comes to us, the invitation comes to us. That call comes at the crossroad where we have to make a decision. All of you are making a decision right now. Do you know that? All of you are making a decision You're making a decision for the presence of God or not for the presence of God. You're making a decision for wisdom or not for wisdom. You are consumed with other kinds of things, like studying for the next class and other kinds of things. But what you don't want to be distracted from is the moment in which you can encounter the presence of God, because God says to you, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, when we think about this call, Jesus goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is..." The thing that we're doing right now, all the worry and anxiety that is consuming us, all of the striving to fulfill the law so that we can merit our own righteousness, all of the tension that we feel politically and socially and all the rest, all of that tension that is upon us is a very heavy thing to bear, isn't it? You feel the weight of it. You feel the oppression of it in your life. And Jesus says, "My yoke," and by that he means my teaching, my instruction, my wisdom, "is easy, it's light, it's transformative. It is the thing that brings about the healing of the condition of our souls." Now, it's interesting, isn't it, in this text, that Jesus gives us the qualities that he possesses, the character that he possesses, that he wishes or he is instructing us to possess. You see those in the text, don't you? "I am meek. I am humble. I am lowly." Someone who is meek and humble and lowly, someone who is poor and without goods, they recognize what their need is, don't they? Of their soul. And so you, in the midst of your striving, you can either latch on to the striving itself. You can continue to hold on to that as if that's going to give you some kind of relief or redemption. Or you might say that your need is deep. Your need is abiding. That your need refers to the emptiness that you possess as a human being. So Jesus says, "I'm humble. I'm meek." To take my wisdom on you is to bear these qualities, these characteristics, these virtues. The blessed man is what? Meek. The blessed man does what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. The blessed man is what? Poor in spirit. This invitation that Jesus gives is an invitation into that poverty of spirit that can only be filled by the wisdom of God. So as we end this particular half of the semester with a few exams still before us, as we end this particular period of time, what I want you to do is not just to go off in the sunset of a vacation from school, but what I want you to do is to hear this invitation from the living God. You stand at the crossroad. Do you want to live in his presence, or will you deny it? That will only add to the burden of existence itself. Do you want the wisdom that is found in Jesus Christ, or do you want the wisdom that is constructed in the world that only brings about your own destruction? For one moment, all of you put things aside, your phones and your books and all those different things that you're looking at. You are at the crossroad. Your decision of attending to anything other than Jesus at this moment is in fact a decision. It's a decision to reject the presence of the living God, to reject the wisdom, because through the voice of the scripture this morning, Jesus is calling out to you, "Hey, Gideon, come unto me, you labor and are heavy laden. Hey, Roderick, come unto me. Hey, Josh, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Andy, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened. Basketball team, come to me. Softball team, baseball team, volleyball team, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Because it's only the wisdom of God that addresses the emptiness that we have because of the burdens that we walk in. Let's pray together. Oh God in heaven, we know that our burdens in life are often obstructions for attending to this call of coming unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, who knew the pain, who knew the sorrow, the one who says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We pray this morning, Lord, that in fact, at the crossroads that we're at, as we approach spring break, as we consider life itself, we pray that we would have the ears to hearken to the cry of Jesus to come unto me, so that that peace that passes all understanding might be ours forever. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.